Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's go in our Bibles to James chapter 1, in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. How many people do not want to be deceived? You do not want to be deceived. Brethren can be deceived. It's sad but true. We don't have to be deceived. That's why he says, do not be deceived. Deception is a choice. Deception is a choice. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from our earthly biological father, the father of our family lineage. With him there's, no, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says every good and every perfect gift comes down from above and comes down from the Father of lights, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing comes from our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Thank God for earthly fathers. If we didn't have earthly fathers, none of us would be here. We would not be here in this earthly world. So we needed an earthly father to get us into this world. Everyone has one, right? So I said, no, I don't. Mine died. Well, you still have one. He's just in a different location. Well, I didn't grow up. My father. What's that got to do with it? You still have one. Well, I never met my dad. Well, I was adopted. Well, you still have a father. You might not have never met him. I know who he is, but you still got a father. Right? But the Bible tells us that every good gift, any good thing that you're going to have in life, any good thing you've had in life, any good thing you have in life, past, present, future, it has come from one source through many different sources. But it has come from one source. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down through various vessels from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. God loves everyone equally. He loves all of his creation. He loves all of us. There wasn't one person that Jesus died for more than another person. God in the person of Jesus gave his life for everybody because God so loved the world, all the people of the world, past, present, and still to be born, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Nobody has to perish. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, not everybody is coming to repentance. Not everybody will come to repentance, but it's God's will that all come to repentance. Why? Because he loves all. He loves all. He loves everybody. He's not a respecter of persons. So what he would do for one, he would do for another. If he would give a good gift to one, he would give a good gift to another. Are you listening to me? God's not withholding any good thing from us. He wants us to learn of him, believe in him, so that we can receive from him all kinds of good things, all kinds of good gifts. God's a gift-given God. I said, God's a gift-given good God. And God's got gifts for you, man. They're still wrapped. They're packaged and ready for us. We got to learn of him, get in faith, get into position, follow the leading of his spirit so that we can receive of these great things that he has for us. But we need to understand that all good things come from God. And God is more than able to make up for any earthly deficiencies. It don't matter what you had or didn't have growing up in this world. You've got a father who's got good things for you, and he's bigger than anything the devil has tried to build up in your life to keep you from the things he has for you. It doesn't matter what stands in, I mean, we should learn that from the walls of Jericho, shouldn't we? It doesn't matter how high the walls are. Doesn't matter how thick they are. Doesn't matter how hard the road has been. Doesn't matter how hard the devil has made things. It doesn't matter how many things the devil has tried to complicate and mess up and twist and pervert in your life. God is bigger, and one shout of faith in him will cause it all to come down. So there's nothing too big for our good God who's got big things for us. So we never have to walk around thinking, well, I didn't have, and I never, and this happened to me, and all that kind of nonsense. What we need to do is get our eyes off the earthly and get our eyes on the heavenly. We need to get our eyes on our heavenly Father. We got to recognize that there's one Father that's above all fathers, and he is the Father of lights, and he's the one we worship, he's the one we praise, and he's the one we look to provide for us in life, to nurture us in life, to bring us up in life, to take care of us. And now that we're in a position to know him because we've come into faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, and have been saved. Now we can allow God to do even more in our life than he has been able to do in times past. Now God can be even more involved in everything that's going on in our life. We are a part of the family of God. And the family of God is more important than your earthly family. Thank God for an earthly family. I didn't say it wasn't important. But every good thing that God does, every good thing that happens with an earthly family, God did it through members of your family. And if they weren't there in your life, God will do it through somebody else. If you got faith, he'll do it through somebody else. In other words, God, he's not limited to your earthly ancestry. He's not limited to your earthly family. He's not limited to people. If one don't yield to him, he'll find somebody else. If you'll trust in him, if you'll put your faith in him, if you'll look to him as the sole source of every good thing that's to be in your life, look to him. Look to him. God is more than able to provide for you. You know, we see that in the Word of God, Jesus, his attitude. How many want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? We're to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We're to walk even as he walked. Think like he thought. He's our master. We're to learn from him. And over here in Matthew, why don't you turn with me, Matthew the 12th chapter, Jesus was ministering to a multitude of people. Multitudes of people were all around him. And in verse 46, it says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. So, you know, because of the multitude, Jesus' family couldn't get to him. His mom, Mary, and his brothers, the children that Joseph and Mary had after Jesus' birth. They were trying to get to Jesus, you know. But they couldn't get to him because of the crowd. So a message got through to Jesus that they're out there wanting to get to him. But there's bodyguards and bouncers all around the place, keeping them from being able to get in. But he, verse 48, but he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? What a statement. Here's his mother and his brothers standing outside wanting to see him. Probably have traveled very far, desperately wanting to get to him. And he says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister and mother. He says, you want to know who my family is? Look around. You want to see my family? Look around. All these who do the will of my Father. See, what's the emphasis on here? The emphasis is on his Father. Jesus is emphasizing his Father. And thus emphasizing his spiritual family. And he's recognizing, this is my family. And it wasn't that his earthly family wasn't important, but he was showing here that his spiritual father, his spiritual family, was of greater importance. And if Jesus had that kind of attitude, you and I need to have the same kind of attitude also. We need to be heavenly minded. We need to be spiritually minded. We need to judge our lives according to the Word of God, according to spiritual things, not according to earthly things. We don't judge ourselves based on our natural condition. We don't judge ourselves or find our identity in what's going on around us in this physical earthly world. Our identity is in Christ. Our identity is in God. We came from Him. We aren't just His creation. We are born of Him. We have been born again. Dev, anybody that's been born again in this place, remember Jesus said in John 3:3, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. Thank God you and I have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, in the New International Version. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. That's the NIV version. John chapter 1, verse 13, also in the New International Version. It says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Not just natural descent, but born of God. See, we're not just his creation, we are his offspring. Literally, we've been born again. I said, literally, we've been born again, born of God. And so, all being born again, having one Father, makes us the family of God. And what an awesome family we have. Such an awesome family we have. Get to know your family. Get excited about your family. You know, Wednesday night I was ministering. And we would talk about how Jesus, you know, if we follow him, well, he said to his disciples in Luke chapter 18, in verse 29, he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. Here he's talking about folks that for the gospel's sake, they left their earthly family. They left their parents. They left their parents. They left their brothers. They left their wife, their children, for the sake of the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, there's nobody that has done that, that will not receive many times more in this present time, in this time that we're living in right now in this world. He said, we're going to receive, if you follow God and he is your father and you're willing to leave all your family ties in the natural to go pursue the call of God on your life, to fulfill the plan of God on your life, he said, you're going to have a lot of family members to replace the ones you left. You're going to have a lot of family members. Praise God. Well, praise God, I'm seeing that fulfilled in my life right now. I'm looking at it. You know, because I lived in New York, was raised in New York, and the Lord said to leave and go out to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I said, Lord, you want me to leave New York and go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma? He said, yeah, Stevie, I need you to go. But anyway, I left it all. I left it all. Even the potential wife. I left her, but I got her back. You know, she came back better than before. It's fantastic. But now I got a big family. Praise God. You reap what you sow, big time. Can you say amen? So God here again is once again emphasizing our spiritual heritage. Our spiritual family, with our spiritual father, he's emphasizing that over our earthly one. So we need to emphasize that as well. You know, when the Lord called me to start the church here, originally the name of the church that he gave me was Family of Faith Fellowship. Family was right in the front of the name. Family. Family of Faith Fellowship Church. And so we had that for several years until we got out here on these grounds. And then I talked to the Lord about changing the name. That was my suggestion. I went to him about it, and we were able to work out a deal. But originally, he had said Family of Faith Fellowship Church. So that was the original and is obviously the original purpose for this church, is number one, for us to be a tight-knit family. He's talking about a spiritual family. You got a spiritual family. I said, you got a spiritual family. You got a spiritual father who loves you, cares for you, and he's the one responsible for every good thing that has taken place in your life. He was the one there when you didn't know it. He was there taking care of you. He was providing for you. And he's the one that will provide for you in the days ahead. And he is referred to as our Heavenly Father, which means he is everything that a father needs to be in our life. He doesn't just have the name Father and then doesn't live up to the name. He is there to nurture you, to teach you. He'll keep you from deception. He'll keep you from getting tripped up. He'll coach you, lead you, guide you in every area of life. He'll be with you every step of the way in life. It's just a matter of us yielding and paying attention to our Father, because he'll be a good daddy to all of us. To those that grew up without an earthly dad in the home, bless God, you got a heavenly dad now in your home. And that's more than enough to make up for any deficiency that you might have had growing up. Can you say amen? Abraham, God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 and said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Here in Abraham's case, in order for Abraham to fulfill God's plan for his life, he had to leave his family. He had to get away from them. They were idol worshipers. But Abraham had to get out of there in order to fulfill God's plan for his life. God separated from him from his family. So again, it wasn't like, oh, you can't leave your family. You got to have your family, Abram. No, that's not God's attitude. That's not God's attitude. We need to love our family. We need to honor our mother, our father, our brothers and sisters. But the truth of the matter is, we will do that if we live a life that's pleasing to God. If we seek to please God, we will honor our father and our mother. God will teach us to do that. But we don't live our life to please man. We live our lives to please God. And in pleasing God, we will live an honorable life towards other people, including our earthly father, mother, family, and so forth. So God's not against biological families. He's just not limited to them. In fact, Jesus, he had 12 real close disciples, but four of them were brothers. James and John were brothers. He called them the sons of thunder. And Andrew and Peter were brothers. So out of the 12, he's got two sets of brothers that are following him. So God loves it when brothers can connect, when family members can connect and fulfill the plan of God together. Later on, the same family that Jesus said, who is my mother, who are my brothers, that same family later, we see one of his brothers, James, he's the one responsible for writing the book of James. It wasn't James, the brother of John. It was James, the brother of the Lord. So his brothers, and Jude was another one of his brothers that wrote the book of Jude. So later on, these men rose up in faith and became great followers of the Lord, were responsible for writing part of the word of God. So God loves it. God's looking for family. You know, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, right? So God loves it. God wants to do things with families, and that's wonderful when that can happen. But God's not limited to that. And we need to understand, we need to put the spiritual above the natural always in every area of life. We are a spiritual people. Can I get an amen? We are a spiritual people. We are not earthly. We are not natural. We live in this world temporarily. We are temporarily living in these perishable, corruptible bodies. But we are spirit beings. And we have a relationship with God now as our Father. And it's an awesome thing. And that's what we need to be emphasizing all through our lives while here on the earth. We need to always emphasize the importance of the family of God and always put that ahead of earthly families. And if we'll do that, some of you might end up getting your earthly family saved. But some of you wanting to please your earthly family so much, you help keeping them in the dark because you're walking in the dark. Because your emphasis is in the wrong place. You're so much in the earthly realm, you feel like you got to do all these earthly things to please these earthly people in order to win these earthly people. You're not going to win the earthly people through doing all your earthly things. You're going to win earthly people over to God by living a life that's pleasing to God, which is emphasizing God and heavenly things above everything else. And so when we go on and say, hey, I got to go and win my family, and leave my family. Sometimes to win your family, you got to leave your family. Some of you pursue your family so hard and heavy with the Bible and everything else, you're killing them. Why don't you just please God? Stop fearing your children. Stop fearing your family. Stop fearing the in-laws. Stop fearing everybody and start having faith in God. Say, I'm going to please God. I'm going to put him first place in my life. I'm going to follow his plan for my life. And ultimately, I believe that through my obedience to him, my family and everything that concerns me is going to be affected by the presence and power of God. Everything that concerns me, he said he will perfect that which concerns me. So I'm not going to carry the concern and get carnal about trying to make right everything I'm concerned about. I'm going to take my concerns, cast them on the Lord, and go follow him. I'm going to go please him. And when we do, praise God, God's power, God's presence is going to affect the people in our life that we care about. John 8, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people. And in verse 38, he says, I speak what I have seen with my Father. And you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Notice what he said. Verse 39, he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would follow in the footsteps of your father, Abraham. If he was your father, you'd be like him, because father like son, right? That's what he's basically saying to us, father like son here. He's saying if you really were Abraham's children, then you'd act like him. But he says, but no, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my words. We've got to watch out. If we ever get to the place where our ears get too heavy and we can't hear the word of God, or we just look blank face into the scriptures and we're not seeing anything, we're not getting anything. Well, that's not because God doesn't want to talk to you. It's probably because we've gotten ourselves filled with a lot of things that are contrary to him. And we need to get that fixed. We need to fix, how do you get that fixed? Well, you repent. That's easy. You don't have to carry a cross. You don't have to be crucified. You don't have to have your blood poured out. You just have to say, Lord, I repent in the name of Jesus, who was crucified for me, has had his blood poured out for me so that I could be cleansed of that. All you got to do is repent, right? So you recognize, you know, if your eyes are being blinded and your ears are heavy, you're not seeing much, not getting much spiritually, repent. Say, Lord, help me to hear and understand your speech. I want to know what you're saying, because we can know what he's saying. I don't believe anything God says should be too complicated for his children. We should be able to get it. We got the Spirit of God. Even if we don't get it right away, we'll get it. Praise God, I'll get it. I believe I'll get it because I'm a child of God. God's not holding any good thing back from me. He'll show me. Jesus said, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice here, Jesus is letting us know that God is not the father of everyone. God loves everyone. He sent his son to die for everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but yet only those who come to Jesus Christ and have their sins washed away and are born again, born of God, are the offspring of God. They become the children of God. Not everybody is a child of God. In fact, most of the people that you will come across in this lifetime, they are not children of God. They have a different father. I said they have a different father. You have to understand that. You're in a different family now. You got a different father than most of the people that you were talking with yesterday. That's why it's so refreshing to get around this group. Because we all got the same father. Right? And because we have the same fathers, we have the same desires. We have the desires to know God. We have the desire to know Him, to walk with Him, be pleasing to Him. Right? How many want to do His will? You want to follow Him with all your heart? Yes! Well, most of the people in the world, that's not where they're at. I got news for you. Most people are not there at all. That's why all the things that are popular in this world are so contrary to God. You think about all the shows and movies and music, everything that's filled with murder, filled with lying, filled with lust, filled with all these wicked, evil things, but those are normal things and forms of entertainment that the wicked can identify with. So they enjoy it. They relate to it. But for a child of God, born of God, has the Spirit of God, those things grieve us. Those things hurt. Those things wound. Those things bother us. We don't take pleasure in any of it. True? Why? We got a totally different father, man. Their father is the devil. Now, the old man that used to live inside this body, thank God he isn't there anymore. There's a new creation now on the inside of this body. Hallelujah, that wasn't even me back then. I was born again, you know, afterwards. But there was an old sinner whose father was the devil, and he loved singing songs like, I'm on a highway to hell. I'm on a highway to hell. Ow! I'm on a highway to hell. Don't stop me. For those that don't know the song, that was part of it. I did a pretty good job. Right, Ian? There was another song called, I don't know if there's a title of the song, but the song went something like this, Running with the Devil. And I don't know much of that song left. My mind's been so renewed, a lot of that's going blank. Thank God. No, thank God I'm not running with the devil anymore. Thank God I'm not on a highway to hell anymore. I remember my brother Alan and I, we were talking one night and just talking the word and things like that. We were out in the parking lot in a certain area years back. And this young kid, I had ministered to him and things and was influencing him for God and sharing the gospel with him. And one night he came into the parking lot and with some friends. The friends were driving the car and they had the music blast, and I'm on a highway to hell. So he gets out of the car. It's late at night, and he starts walking back to his apartment, and he's walking past us, and we're in the dark. You know, we're there in the car, and he said, hey, I can't remember his name, but I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? And we kind of caught him by surprise. And I looked at him and I said, are you? He said, am I what? Are you on a highway to hell? He just kind of looked at me. He started backtracking towards the house. Anyway, he went in the house. I don't think he probably slept well that night. But you know what was amazing? He came to church after that. Showed up at church. Came to the next couple services. Praise God. Hallelujah, young guy. Obviously, God was able to get a hold of them. People aren't thinking. Are you? What you're singing, is it true? Are you on a highway to hell? You must be, because you're enjoying it. You enjoy singing about it. You're praise and worship. You're praising your God. You're celebrating it. See, we got to understand, we're in a different family now. We're a part of the family of God. There's things we don't like anymore that the world likes. We're different now. We're different now. We got a heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. Notice again, John, the 8th chapter, in verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. They're talking to Jesus. We know that you have a demon. These guys think he has a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham is constantly referred to in the scriptures as our father. Here these men were priding themselves that Abraham was their father. But Jesus said, if Abraham was your father, you'd be doing the deeds of your father Abraham. But you're not doing his, you're not following his footsteps at all. You're of your father the devil. Let's go to Romans 4. And in verse 1, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? And here he's writing to believers. He's writing to you and I, and he's referring to Abraham as our father. Notice verse 12. And the father of circumcision, talking about Abraham still, to those who not only are of the circumcision, that's the Jews, but who walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So he's saying that those who walk in the faith steps of Abraham have Abraham as their father also. And of course he's referring to Abraham as a spiritual father to us. A spiritual father in the faith. James chapter 2 declares, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Again, our father. Acts chapter 3, we could turn to this one. Acts the 3rd chapter. And in verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, plural, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, who you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Here, Peter is preaching, and he's preaching to a multitude of people from all different nations. He refers to these spiritual fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as our fathers. Our fathers. Verse 25. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Sons of the prophets and Abraham, our father. And we can go on. There's lots of scriptures along these lines. But you'll see that even not just Abraham, it's not just limited to Abraham and the prophets. You come over to the New Testament, you look at the apostles. And you got the apostle John in his writings. You read over there 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He's constantly referring to the church as my little children. My little children. Paul, the same thing. He's referring to the church as his children. In Galatians, he says, my little children who I labor in birth pains again until Christ is formed in you. And Paul went on, he made this statement over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, talking to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, again, are they his physical children, his biological children? Of course not. They are his what? Spiritual children. He says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So here, Paul is referring to himself as a spiritual father. So we see that with Paul, we see that with John. And it's true still today. God has spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers in the faith. And when we honor God as our heavenly father, we're also going to honor the family of God. We're also going to honor the spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. We're looking to God. Again, he's the source of all things, but when people show a contempt towards the body of Christ, and I'm talking about other believers, they show a contempt towards other spiritual leaders or the fathers, they show a contempt towards spiritual leaders, it says something about them. It's a revealing that their faith has been contaminated. Because if you got red hot faith in God, then you're going to, of course, love your heavenly father, and you're going to love all the spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith, and you're going to love the family of God, made up of the brothers and sisters of God. And that's key to us living in victory. And that's why it says over in Malachi chapter 4, very powerful prophetic word about the end times. Malachi 4. Let's go back to verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now, of course, you look at that and you know, yeah, it's important for natural biological fathers to be right with their children and children to be right with their natural biological fathers, which is a problem that, you know, we're seeing way too much of in this world. The breaking apart of the family and a lot of fatherless homes. But this verse of scripture is not specifically talking about biological fathers. He says he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Who are our fathers that he's talking about? He's talking about our fathers in the faith. He's talking about having a heart, again, for the word of God that came through our fathers. Our fathers, our spiritual fathers. And if we'll turn back to our spiritual heritage, then what's going to happen? It will save the earth from being struck with a curse. It'll save us from all kinds of curses in our personal life. How many want to be spared a lot of curses? Emphasize spiritual things. Emphasize your heavenly father and honor and esteem the fathers. And we are to imitate their faith. Walk in their footsteps. If they are our father, then we're going to walk in the footstep of our fathers. Thank God we can, because we have the spirit of our father on the inside of us. Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.